You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. My name is Ben Barrett and I'm delighted to say that I've been joined by one of our William Hill Racing Radio colleagues today, Gareth Topham. Gareth, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Ben. Happy New Year to you
and
our listeners.
And to yourself. It's the first time we've had you on this podcast of the new year, is it?
It is.
Nice.
It's the first time I've been in the building.
Well, in that case, very much Happy New Year. Good to have you back with us. We've got you a couple of times this week, I think, as well. So looking forward to hearing your dulcet tones on the airways once more.
Yeah, hopefully a winner or two along the way.
Always
That's
a bonus.
Always the aim, isn't it?
Always a bonus. It's a relatively quiet Tuesday. Unfortunately, we've lost Exeter today, but you've been in the William Hill Racing Radio studio so far. We've only had a few races actually at time of recording, but some decent stuff over at Doncaster. Good form so far. Have you picked anything from the first couple?
I think we've had a fourth so far. From
things can only get better then.
Things
fine.
Can only
we
get
are
better.
Recording this fairly early. Plenty of racing left to come for Gareth to get stuck into.
At least it's on. At least Doncaster's on because, obviously, as you say, we've lost Exeter. It was probably the best meeting today. And I think we're going to lose a few more meetings as the week progresses.
I think you might be right, yeah. So good that we get Doncaster. It is sodden at Doncaster. We've just seen a race where it cut up really quite badly underneath. Now, we're going to have a little look ahead, as we always do, to a couple of races tomorrow. But before that, I want to jump a little further forward even more. It's already front page worthy of the Racing Post. It's already the talk of the office here at William Hill HQ. It's a Tingle Creek rematch at Ascot on Saturday. The Clarence House Chase, Grade 1, 2 mile, 1 furlong. Importantly, Underso versus Defi DeSoy. Are you looking forward to this matchup as much as anyone else?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think with racing these days, it's very much you get to the Monday of a week and you're already looking ahead.
Yeah,
looking
you are.
Forward to the Saturday. It's like, goodness me, you've still got four or five days, you know. But I think that's generally the way things are going. And particularly with the jump season, we're not just looking ahead to the following Saturday. We're looking forward to those 4 days in March ahead of anything else in life, I think, generally. So
you're preempting a couple of questions that are going to come later on, I think, in this. It's all I seem to do on these podcasts. Good day of racing, but let's look ahead to March.
Yeah. But no, this race on Saturday is potentially going to be a corker. And as you say, it's a brilliant rematch between the first two home at Sandown in December.
If you don't mind me asking a slightly different type of question, some of our listeners may recognise your voice as an on-course commentator. You've recently got a lot of high praise for doing some fantastic calls, specifically at Doncaster. I was wondering, when these sort of feature races, these highlighted one versus one matches against really big stories come along in these horse racing world, do you as a professional, as a commentator, look forward to them slightly differently to say a punter, to say one of our listeners? Do you have to keep a sort of professional head on things, or can you almost enjoy these sort of occasions more because of it?
A bit of everything, I suppose. If I'm calling a big match, doesn't happen often, but no, it did happen over Christmas, and we'll touch on that in a second. But no, generally I can enjoy them, you know, and I look forward to them as much as the next person. And this race on Saturday, you know, I'll be looking forward to this as much as anybody else. Yeah. Really, I can sit back and watch it, enjoy it, take it all in, absorb it, and then think what I'm going to do with these two horses about whether they'd be worth punting going forward or something like that. You know, just try and take a bit of a stance with it. If I'm commentating on a race like this, as I say, it doesn't happen very often. There was a race I called over Christmas, the one that you alluded to, Ben, at Doncaster. It was a very high quality mares chase, and there were four sort of big names which were in the entries at the entry stage, and you looked at it and you thought, goodness me, if those four all turn up, this is going to be a tremendous race. And thankfully they did, and three of them jumped the last together.
Yeah.
And, you know, seldom do you get such an occasion where all the big names turn up and they all seem to be there competitive at the finish. And
I think it was
a nose and a half length of distances between the first, second and third. It was a tremendous race. And, yeah, on those sorts of occasions, as I say, it doesn't happen to me often, but yeah, I enjoyed it, and I hope that came across in the commentary, because yeah, I was genuinely excited. Not quite as excited as my wife, who was stood next to me at the time in the commentary box, and she's not even into racing, and even she was jumping up and down. So it was but yeah, no, you do try and keep a professional head on it. You're aware of who you're calling. The mare that won that race over Christmas, Lady Button, she's one of the most popular mares in training.
Yeah.
And she's very popular up here because she's trained by Phil Kirby.
Yes.
Who's obviously based in the North. So I think her nickname is the Queen of the North. So you're always wary of stuff like that. And if you can give the race a meaning in the commentary, then do it. It's not always possible. It wasn't that day because it was such a close finish. I wasn't convinced that she had got up.
Yeah.
I think I finished the call with very close or something like that. But yeah, you try and get the story, give the race a bit of a narrative. Yeah. So yeah, if I'm calling it, I will treat it differently to if I'm just watching it, for obvious reasons. But now this race on Saturday, I don't know who is calling it at Ascot on Saturday, but whoever it is, I'm sure they're very, very much looking forward to being on the mic behind these two horses, because it promises to be such a fascinating rematch. And it's a race as well where, you know, you've got an old timer now and a 12-year-old in Underso who's been here already a couple of times, worn the t-shirt, won this race. I think he's unbeaten at the track, against the young and inexperienced or lesser experienced chaser in Defi de Soy, who beat him last time out. So there's a bit of heart ruling head. There's a little bit of you know, do we remain loyal to the brilliant Irish horse Underso, or do we really think this 7-year-old Defi de Soy has got what it takes to go all the way? And at the moment he's very much looked that way. So yeah, it's going to be a fascinating race on Saturday, given the likely conditions and the fact that, as I say, he's been here, he's done this before. I'd probably favour the old timer to get revenge on Defi de Soy Underso, because he was coming back at Defi de Soy.
He was
in the Tingle Creek at Sandown, and Sandown, it can be quite a stiff test of stamina, because they obviously go quite quick, particularly down the back straight, and then it's an uphill finish. It's worth bearing in mind, the last 3/4 of a mile to a mile at Ascot is all uphill. So, as we say, I mean, Defi de Soy does stay further than this 2 miles 1 furlong. Some of his best form in his younger days came over sort of half a mile further, so I'm not saying stamina is going to be an issue, but at a real good solidly run 2 mile 1 furlong, which this is likely to be with Underso in the field, he'd probably make it. He could just take a bit of pegging back, but no, it's worth looking ahead to, because for once, you know, this Saturday it's a great race where the big names are meeting prior to Cheltenham, because it's not going to be something we see over the next few weeks. You know, the next couple of months now, the big names are generally not going to meet each other again until March. So this is like a pre-champion chase, if you like, which is lovely to see.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. A really fascinating sort of insight as well behind the microphone, if you like. I think all big sporting moments, I personally come from a football cricket background, and we see big sporting moments, and accompanying that is often someone's audio. I think back to immediately the World Cup final, Ian Smith, the barest of margins. I think Anthony Joshua being called with his big wins, etc., etc. So I'm fascinated. So thank you for that little bit of insight into behind the microphone. As for the race itself, a really fascinating mini preview there as well. Underso actually 13-8 currently in the market to beat Defi de Soy, who currently sits at 8-11 as favourite. Just for rounding up the rest of the market, Janica is 8-1, Capelin 16-1, and Marajacuda is 66-1. So absolutely fascinating on Ascot.
I mean, look, it's a Grade 1 race these days, and it used to be a handicap event, so those obviously that were higher rated carried more weight, and those that were lower rated, obviously Marajacuda off a rating of 143 is carrying the same weight as Underso, who is the highest rated horse in this race. Let's not forget that. He's rated 170. So he's £4 superior on the ratings to Defi de Soy, who's in on 166. But they're all off level weights on Saturday. So, you know, very often in this racing in previous years, since they've changed the format a bit, we've had a long odds on favourite. I'm sure when Underso has won it in the past, he's been odds on. And although we've got an odds on favourite this weekend, at least he's got one, if not more, real credible rival. And yeah, it's going to be really fascinating contest. The others, not just on ratings, but generally on what we know of them, they have got plenty to find. It should be a two-horse battle.
Brilliant. You alluded to very, very briefly there, and we're only going to touch on Cheltenham just a little tiny bit there, that this could be a Champion Chase preview. They both have options when it comes to the Cheltenham Festival. To run through the Champion Chase betting, Altior is 3-1 market leader, Defi de Soy 4-1, and then Underso is slightly further down the field at 20-1. Could a dominant performance from one or the other lead connections one way or another. They're both listed in the Ryanair market, for example. Mm. Could a dominant performance put off the one that comes second and say, well, actually, I'd rather not meet that horse again in a few weeks? Could, if one absolutely hoses up, could that make influential decisions happen?
With Defi de Soy, yes, I think. I think if Defi de Soy blitzes under So on Saturday, I think Connections would very seriously consider the champion chase. Because at the moment, he's second favourite behind Altior. Well, we've only seen Altior once this year. He suffered his first defeat in about 3 years or 4 years, whatever it was. And, you know, he was obviously going to be a candidate for this race on Saturday. Yes. But again, he's out. He was out at Kempton last week. He's obviously been in the headlines quite a bit. And sometimes when you get these scenarios, and it's dangerous to say this when it comes to Nicky Henderson, we saw what he did a few years ago with Sprinter Sakura, but, you know, will he come back? Will Altior come back and be the brilliant Altior that we've seen in seasons gone by? And, you know, would I be backing him at the moment at 3-1, you know, for the champion chase? If he was definitely going to run, yeah, it's a tremendous price, but I think you've got that little question mark hovering over him at the moment, and therefore if you take him out, Defi de Soy, yes, a dominant performance on Saturday over a real strong horse at this sort of level in under So, I think would see him be propelled towards the top of the market. He's not far off it now. Under So in previous years, he's gone to the Ryanair chase, and obviously it's a race he's won in the past.
Yeah.
And given that he's that bit older, and there's a few young horses now coming through, the likes of Chacun Pour Soi, who ran well over Christmas, Aplutard, who beat him over Christmas, you know, there's one or two others as well. I would be surprised, really, if Under So did turn up in this particular Cheltenham race, the Queen Mother. And I doubt he would destroy Defi de Soy this coming Saturday. I think if Under So wins on Saturday, it won't be by very far. Ultimately, there wasn't much to split them at Sandown, was there, in December?
No, so, just about a neck or so, I think.
Yeah, so as I say, with regards to that point, yes, I think with Defi de Soy, if he was to win and win really comfortably on Saturday, Connections, I think, would head towards the Queen Mother as opposed to anywhere else at those 4 days in March. But you never know. There's so many options for these horses.
A lot of water to pass under the bridge between now and then.
And they're talking about a fifth day.
I know, crazy. Oh. Absolutely brilliant. Okay, we are going to preview a couple of races tomorrow. A word of note for those listening, though. On Saturday, not only will we have the best preview and coverage of Ascot via William Hill Racing Radio, but if you are logged into your William Hill account, you will be able to watch the racing from Ascot completely free on Betting TV. It's one of our new services we offer on Betting TV via williamhill.com. Right then, we continue our look ahead, but just 24 hours' time. We give our pundits the choosing of any two races from the following day's action, and you've picked a couple for us. Gareth, where are we going first?
Yeah, I've gone to the two all-weather tracks just because we know that they're going to be on.
Yes.
So we'll go to Wolverhampton at 155. I'm going to go for Gold Brocade because of people in form at the moment. Ben Curtis is riding so, so well. He's had so many winners over the last month or so. Mick Appleby remains in good form, and I think Gold Brocade is around about 7-2 with us here at William Hill. I think she's around about second favourite. But she won in good style at Lingfield last time out. That followed on from a decent effort in defeat where she was not beaten too far at Newcastle the time before. I just think that she's a filly in form. She's going forward and she's got a man on her back riding with an awful lot of confidence at the moment. And ultimately, she's still very lightly raced. She's only had the 7 starts. So I think Gold Brocade is a big, big player to try and get the better of Bachelor Boy in that 155 at Wolverhampton.
Awesome. That's a handicap class 5 race, 6 furlongs ahead of them, the 155 at Wolverhampton. Just to rattle down the rest of the card, Bachelor Boy 15-8, Gold Brocade, the selection of Gareth Topham, is 7-2, 9-2 then for River Cam, Dana Forever 8-1, Dark Silver 9, Zuckerberg 11-1, Bailey's in Bloom 12-1, as is Lakeview, and then it's 28-1 for the outside of the field, Ocasio Cortez. That one's nice and easy. Wrap that one up pretty quickly. We're going to move on to a slightly later race, I believe, now at Southwell.
Yeah, 5:50 under the lights at Southwell. I'm going to go for a horse that I actually napped a couple of days ago, and thankfully won, a horse called National Anthem, who's now looking for a hat-trick of wins. He, again, is a very lightly raced horse. He's a 5-year-old, but he's only had 4 goes in his life. He's obviously been a little bit delicate. He's now trained by David Brown. First time up around here, he raced over this 6 furlong trip, and he clocked some very, very strong late sectionals, and he won in great style. And then the other day when he was put into handicap company over 5 furlongs, he won in good style again, and now he's back on up to the 6 furlong trip, which if anything I think will suit him even better. I suppose the only negative with him really is the draw, because he's 5 of 5, but 5 horsewhiths off the fence isn't necessarily all that wide. Obviously the bend comes up quite soon after the starting point. Yep. Here at Southwell, over 6 furlongs, but I think he probably just either go from the front or tuck him in Paul Renan, who obviously now gets on with the horse very well. I think he is the obvious contender to rattle up a Southwell hat trick. He's progressing nicely, he's got some very good speed, he's clocked some very good speed on this 6 furlong track, and as I say, he certainly wasn't lacking for speed over a shorter trip the other day, and I think if anything, as I say, this trip will suit him even better. He's carrying a £5 penalty for that win the other day, but I doubt that'll be enough to stop him. So National Anthem in the 5.50, I'll probably end up napping him again.
A little window into the naps table here at William Hill. National Anthem 6-4, again handicap race class 4 6 furlongs. This is the 5.50 at Southwell. To wrap up the rest of the card then, National Anthem is 6-4, Airshow 15-8, Camera 4-1, Zillin is 9-1, Private Matter 10-1. So a relatively small field there, just the 5 of them going to post, but the favourite course and distance win to the name of National Anthem is possibly Gareth Topham's nap for tomorrow as well. Well, that wraps up a couple of races for tomorrow. We've had a look at one at Southwell and one at Wolverhampton. If you want to tune into William Hill Racing Radio tomorrow, the schedule has Sam Norris, Leona Mayer and Andy Gibson down. But Sam and Andy were both meant to be in today and they've both gone sick. So we may have a slightly altered roster, or we'll just let Leona go on her own. I'm sure that'll be fine. It'll be fine. Racing comes from Punchestown, Newbury, Wolverhampton, Southwell and Plumpton. We hope Plumpton is holding an 8 a.m. inspection in the morning. So we do hope for good news from there. If you're out and about, not only will you get those preview and commentaries from William Hill Racing Radio, but every race at Wolverhampton, Plumpton, if it goes ahead, and Southwell will also be completely free to air on our William Hill Betting TV service. So log into williamhill.com and you can watch every race completely free of charge. Thank you so much, Gareth, for joining us. And the little birdie tells me a happy birthday for tomorrow.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that was another rotor alteration because somehow I was put in tomorrow and I was like, no. There was no availability given for tomorrow. So, yeah, shuffles all round. But no, I'm looking forward to becoming 31. I'll be joining you, will I not?
No, I've just turned 32.
Oh, have you?
Literally weeks ago.
Unlucky.
So I know. you've got a good year on me there, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. I'll always keep that year as well.
You will always have that year, that's right. A little window into the behind the curtains here at William Hill hits you. Gareth and I were actually on the same university course at Leeds Trinity.
Yeah, we've known each other a while.
We have indeed. Even back then, you were well into the horse racing system. So yeah. I've joined you eventually via the good people at William Hill. Gareth, absolutely. Once again, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Me.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.